The following audio was recorded at the Crown Financial Ministries 2009 staff reunion event in November. This is General Session number 6, and in this session, Chuck Bentley issues a challenge to all of us to become Crown champions. But first, Stan Reif shares a moving story about one of Crown's youngest champions.
I attended a workshop yesterday that Kevin Strahan and Hal White were giving on, I believe the topic was God Provides in your sphere of influence. And as I was working through that process, and I thought, you know, I've got a story I'd like to tell and connect those dots from that session, that lab yesterday afternoon. And for me, it starts back probably in August. And we're at home office. We're getting ready to do our first pre-release of the God Provides films. And so we went into Atlanta, rented a theater, and we had all of our staff come. We had some of our guests in the area, some pastors and business leaders come to watch the first big screen release of God Provides. So as we were talking about it in the office, we said, listen, everybody go home and think of friends, and then invite everybody to come on this Friday to watch this God Provides film. And somebody took us serious. Can you believe that? And Mary Ellen Prater went and looked through her contacts, her friendships. And there was a couple by the name of Doug and Lynn Hansen that had been longtime friends. And she invited them to come that Friday morning to watch the film. They came. Amy and I happened to be there. And at the same time that they arrived, we rode up on the elevator together and got acquainted and realized that Doug Hansen had been in Larry Burkett's very first Bible study in Atlanta back in the 70s. What's the odds of that? So as they sat there and watched the film, they were incredibly moved by the power of the story. Afterwards, they came up and they were talking to Mary Ellen and said, Doug was saying, I'm getting ready to go to Romania next week. Is there any way I can take a copy of these films with me? They weren't even ready yet. We hadn't even gotten them back from production. So Mary Ellen and Doug came and asked me about it, and I still had my one copy that I had been traveling around the world field testing. And I told Doug, okay, you can have my copy, but if it disappears, I'm toast. You know that feeling, right? Okay, you know, that was a prize commodity. That was one of those field testing versions. And so I said, I'll tell you what, if you'll promise you'll bring it back, no copies, I'll let you have it, but if I lose my job over this, I'm coming to work for you. So then we met with Sharon, and we were able to give him the companion's guide and gave him permission to have it translated because he was on his way to Romania to work with an orphanage. And so the next week he went, and I said, by the way, you've got to chronicle the journey. I want you taking pictures, and I want you to tell me what happens as these children watch the story. He came back just a few weeks ago and brought me my disc back. He brought me two discs, one CD with pictures on it, and he'd already typed up the narrative of the story. And that's the story I'd like to tell you. He got over there and set up in the orphanage, was giving the parents relief. And one night he, after dinner, had the kids gather around, about 20 children in this orphanage in Romania. Sat around the TV and a DVD player, and after dinner they watched the film, and the kids were absolutely moved. They wanted to watch another one. Nope, we're going to spread these out over the next several days, make it last. That weekend, they went out camping, very remotely, and he took one of our solar-powered video screens with him and showed it to the kids out camping where there was no electricity, no infrastructure. Again, the kids were moved. About 2 weeks later, school started. And at that point, they had already watched the films. The first day of school, the kids were there, brand new school. And the teacher said, did anybody learn anything over the summer about faith and your life or anything? And little Deanna raised her hand and said, yes. And she proceeded to recount in vivid detail the story of the widow in oil. A story that deeply impacted her as a little orphan in a foster home in Romania. The teacher was so moved by the vivid detail and her emotions as she started to tell the story, he had her come to the front of the classroom and tell the story. She proceeded to tell a story, and little hands went up in that little classroom. 12-year-old Deanna was sharing the story. Is that for real? Did that really happen? How do you know? And she proceeded to give him the Bible reference, the biblical address to that story. And the teacher then went and got a Bible and opened up the Bible and read the story to the kids. This is a true story. The teacher was so impressed. She said, "Where did you get this film? Who has it?" She said, "The man at the orphanage." "How do I get the film?" He said, "He'll be at the soccer game tomorrow. Come." Saturday arrived. The kids were there. Doug showed up with a little solar-powered video screen to show the films. And Daniel, the teacher, rode his bicycle 12 miles to see the films. Come to find out that Daniel is head of the Christian education for that district in Romania. And he wanted to watch another film and another film. He said, "Please, can I have these? I will teach these in all the schools in my district. Every week, we have an hour of Christian education in our public schools. I need these films to teach in our schools." The power of one, where Mary Ellen Prater looked into her sphere of influence and found a friend, Doug and Lynn Hansen, who then went overseas on a missions trip, and our newest, youngest crown champion is little Deanna from Romania. You had that same opportunity to look into your sphere of influence and pass that story on.
Crown champions exist all over the world, and I want you to meet some crown champions that are doing an incredible job in Brazil. I would like our entire Brazilian team to come up and join me. I know I'm surprising you, but come on up. And Jim, would you follow along with them? And Amanda, would you come on behind them as they come up? Amanda, I'd like you to come if you're in the room. Jim, would you come and translate from Portuguese to English? This group of people are responsible for the most small group studies of any nation on the face of the earth. They are leading the world in small group studies. Will you welcome our crown champions from Brazil? I want to hold your hands up. They have 8,000 volunteers in Brazil. 8,000 volunteers recruited through these people. 8,000 volunteers. They started 4 years ago. Do we have some crown champions in Brazil? Amen. I am the guest speaker for their group on Easter Sunday of 2010. Do you think we might be talking about becoming a champion for Crown? They're holding a conference where the entire family comes and teaches Crown ministry material at the same time, starting with the little children to middle school, high school, college, and then adults. They're expecting 3,000 people there. Are these the innovators? This is Paulo and Edson. And would you introduce your wives? Or staff or friends? And
hello, I'm Edson. This is my wife, Iverly. And this is Paulo and his wife, Regina.
Okay. And I would like Paulo and Edson to pray for your country. And let's see. And Amanda, can you need a mic to interpret? Will you interpret for both of them, Jim? Yeah, Paula, will you pray? Do you have a mic? We may need another mic. You have one? Oh, you'll work together. Okay, good. Let's bow and pray.
Senhor Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
nós estamos aqui na tua presença nessa manhã, Pai. We're here this morning in your presence.
E nós te agradecemos de todo o coração.
And we thank you from all our heart.
Porque o Senhor é bem-vindo aqui neste lugar, Pai.
Because you are welcome in this place.
Nós te amamos, Jesus.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
E toda a glória e a honra seja dada somente a Ti, Pai.
And all honor and glory is given only to you, Father.
Porque somente o Senhor
Because only the Lord
é digno de receber
are worthy to receive.
Todo louvor, toda honra neste lugar, Pai.
All praise and honor in this place.
Nós amamos o Senhor de todo o coração.
We love the Lord from all our heart.
Amém.
Amen.
Jim, will you translate while I add some praise? What do you pray in English? Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Dear Lord, we are very thankful for your grace, for your mercy, and for your love for us. And we want to pray for all of the countries in Latin America. God, we would like to ask you to open all of the doors in the churches, in companies, in schools, because what we have prayed is that your name could be known and renowned as the name above all names. We love you. We depend of your love, your grace, your wisdom, and please use us as vessels in your hands for your unique glory, because you are powerful, amazing, and we love you so much. Thank you for this opportunity. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you all. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Paula. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Amanda. Amanda was raised in Brazil, and Jim served in Brazil for many years, so they're able to do the translation for them. You may have noticed they're wearing earphones, and that's to block me out as I speak. They're actually having a live translation. Jim, thank you for that great work. We may have to do that in the future more often as we begin to expand and God brings us people from all over the world. We all have a story we'll never forget, and I haven't had the opportunity to share with you the story that I will never forget. It started by seeing a story on CNN. This is a very recent story. It's a story of the redemption power of what God can do. I'd like you to watch this story, and then I want to tell you the rest of the story. This was just recently featured on national news.
It is possible, and this Wisconsin family proved it. Open it up for you.
Thank you.
The family favorite at the Hildebrandt's dinner table, egg noodles, crackers.
This is going to be good.
And cream of chicken soup.
This is Mama's cracker casserole.
A meatless dish. One small way this family of five dug themselves out of a mountain of debt, more than twice their annual income, $123,000, the result of 16 years of overspending.
It didn't happen overnight. It was just a few thousand every year.
The tipping point?
We had been assessed about $1,544 in finance charges just for 1 month on those 11 credit cards.
To be honest with you, I was ashamed that I let it get to that point. We've always been big dreamers.
But the dreamers didn't take the easy way out, ruling out bankruptcy and opting instead to pay off their debt.
It was my dad. I made the mistakes. I made the responsibility.
Candy cut the budget so much that at the end of the month, she often had less than $5 to spare.
Plenty of people have $1,200 worth of debt. Lots of people have $12,000 worth of debt. But to have $120,000 worth of debt, how can you possibly pay that back?
So we quit eating out. And that was right away. We quit buying some of our favorite brand name things that were costlier. We would go down to the generic. And actually, as I was kind of running out of my favorite brand name things, I would add water to stretch it.
The Hildebrandts saved $70 a month doing their own car repairs, $250 by stretching leftovers and eating dehydrated hash browns. They saved $150 a month by buying at thrift stores, $200 by cutting their own hair. No more CDs and DVD purchases, only essentials. Russell got a second job, working nights as a janitor in addition to his day job as a chemist, sleeping only a few hours a night.
Some nights, I admit, I don't think I'm going to make it, but I knew one thing, that whether I made it or not, I was going to give it the best try that I could give.
To save on gas money, he slept in his car.
I put my hood on, and then I would just put my pillow over and snuggle in for the night.
Twin daughters Holly and Heidi put together a newsletter and sold it to relatives.
That's what they like, is the topping.
Dinner time became family time.
We would sit here for 2 hours and tell stories and laugh, and just, I think that was our funnest time. And even though I'd be dog tired, I just enjoyed it because that was the time I got to spend with my family.
And having a common goal brought everyone together.
It isn't so much what's on the table as much as what took place while we were here. So the Hildebrandts.
When I watched that story, my heart was moved. I said, how could it be that this couple that had such incredible endurance and faithfulness and perseverance to get out of $123,000 worth of debt, how could it be that they did that by their own power and their own strength? And I just had a hunch that there was more to this story than CNN was willing to tell. Don't you think there is? Would you like me to tell you the rest of the story? This is a story that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. I asked Jim Henry on our staff to call and see if CNN would give us the name of this couple. And then I said, I just want to know one thing. Are those people Christians or not? What do you think the answer was? Absolutely. Would you give Russ and Candy Hildebrandt the warmest welcome you've ever given anyone? Come on out, Russ and Candy Hildebrandt. I want to hold your hands up. I told them that you would love them. And they haven't been through a crown class. This is a God story. This is a story of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. They've escaped man's economy and are living in God's economy. How about that? Our God is alive. Our God is real. Our God delivers. Our God provides. I can't wait for you to hear it from their own mouth. Russ and Candy, would you be seated? Did I tell you that they would like you here? The credit card companies don't like them. And I watched you on CNN and Fox, and where all have you been?
Today Show.
The Today Show.
And MSNBC Financial and Yahoo front page on the financial for many days. And we've kind of been all over.
They have been all over. And this story actually broke September 29th of this year, right?
Yes.
And since that time, their life has changed dramatically. But as I was sitting at my computer at home and watching your story, my spirit said, there's more to this. And there's more to this that needs to be told than is being told through CNN. Because the world wants us to believe that we can do it ourselves. That we can become debt-free without God's help. And I just want to ask you, do you think that that is possible to have gone through this journey without God's help, Russ?
I believe I couldn't have made it without God's help. Just the hours that I worked, sometimes not even getting sleep for days, and just sometimes we didn't know if we were even going to have enough money to eat with, and but God always brought things when we needed it. And one of the things that we prayed about, that we wanted our girls and our children to see the reality of God, not just talk about it, but see the reality of what God could do. And He proved Himself so many times. He doesn't have to prove Himself, but He did so many times to us and so faithful to us. And our children now know that there's a living God, not just talking about it, but that there's a living God out there who cares about us.
Candy, when did you realize that there was a problem?
Well, over time, as a wife and a stay-at-home mom, I continued to see him become very depressed. And his he was a man that was walking around with thousands of pounds of a burden on his shoulder. And he did, at times, comment about just kind of escaping it all, if you know what I mean. And so I began to dig to find the source of what was transforming him into a very burdened and depressed man who shouldn't be that way as a Christian. And so the other tip-off was we received letters from credit card companies that they were raising our interest rates. And we'd always been current with our creditors. And
how much interest were you paying a month, Ken?
Some of the cards, we had 11. Some of them had raised the rates from, like, say, 23 to 25%. And with my background in credit customer service, I knew that there was a reason for them doing that, and that was because we'd become a higher risk with the amount of debt. So I did some digging and figured out where we were, accumulated, and got the total.
And so they're a high-risk customer with 11 cards, a lot of debt. And so the credit card companies raise their interest rates to help out. I don't understand that logic when you're making all of your payments. So what was the first thing that you did, Candy, when you knew that there was a problem?
Well, I realized that it was just a matter of time, and we had to stop what we were doing that got us to that point. And my biggest challenge really was not the debt. My biggest challenge was addressing him, letting him know, A, that I knew where we were at. He was already, you know, low, and not to make that situation worse. And the challenge is letting him know, preserving his respect in my eyes, and at the same time, you know, helping move things in the right direction.
Did you get advice on what to do or how to solve this problem, Russ?
Yeah, we actually had some very successful Christian businessmen tell us to file bankruptcy, that we'd never get out of it. And that was not an option for us. You know, I admit I let my pride get in the way of doing something about it. I just couldn't admit that I had messed up this bad, you know. And but that's the grace of God, you know. I asked his forgiveness, and we just then started on a journey to get out of it and trust the Lord. And it was a tough journey, but it was a great journey.
You actually made a plan, and I say that one of you took the offense and one of you took the defense. And Russ, you decided to go out and earn more income so that Candy could stay home. And you're actually a chemist, is that right?
Yes.
And what did you do for extra income?
Well, I worked at the grocery store in town as a janitor, cleaning toilets and scrubbing floors from sometimes between 12 to 4 in the morning to 12 to 6 in the morning, 5 days a week for 4.5 years.
How long did you do that, Russ?
I did that for 4.5 years.
I'm sorry, 4.5 years, but you did that from the very beginning.
Yes.
And you found yourself completely exhausted.
Yes.
How did you endure that?
Well, it's kind of funny. I always tell one of the things is my before I went to my second job, my wife would give me a 15-minute leg rub because my legs were totally wore out by the end of the day. And then it was the Lord. I many times at night I'd have literally pray every step to get through the night. I was so tired. And God gave me grace. I look back now upon it, and now I just have one job. I was able to get rid of the second job, and I don't know how I make it through the day with one job. But, you know, God just gave us special grace to get through it, and a lot of prayer. I mean, I definitely learned how to pray more.
Yes. Russ, you said that during those dark hours, the dark valley, as you were being a janitor, that there was a battle going on in your mind. Would you share that with us, what was happening?
Well, you know, when you're working in a store all by yourself in the middle of the night, you have a lot of time to think. And I suppose for the first couple of years, I really beat myself up. You know, is Satan working on my life to say, you know, you're a failure, and you get yourself in this situation and that you can't be used for God. Because, you know, I had been very actively involved, you know, in our church and working for many years. And now I'm working two jobs and I don't have a lot of time. You know, let's go to church on Sunday and spent some time with my family spiritually, but pretty much worked because I had an obligation to pay off this debt. And he really worked on me on that way, saying, you're not useful for God and that you're not doing anything and your Christian life is not valuable. And so it was a lot of mental battle. And then I just had to fight it and say, no, I repented of it. I made my mistakes and I'm correcting them. And plead the blood of Jesus on my life. And it was a battle. It was hard because, as working as a chemist during the day, I'm always doing stuff. My mind was occupied, but when you're walking the floor all night long, it wasn't. And that was tough. But, God was there and I had so much time to pray. And so I would start to pray for different churches and people and my family and for a situation. So, and those were tough. The first few years were really tough because I felt bad. But I had a great wife who never once condemned me. Never once. And I think if she would have been that way, I would never made it.
Person who loves the Lord and you're a student of His Word. Were there particular times when God was just bringing you through this and giving you strength? How did you endure it?
This just now occurred to me, and the first time that we've been interviewed many, many times, but it's really interesting. Honestly, this just hit my mind, and I realized God prepared my heart 2 years before He even revealed the situation to me. And I remember telling my sister this. I thought, the Lord had really convicted me of my Bible reading. And so 2 years prior to this coming to a head, I had gotten back into the Word of God. And I remember telling her that God is doing this for a reason. He's preparing my heart. And when things got tough, I knew why. Because I needed that foundation in the heat of the battle, not after, and not trying to catch up. And I did. There were times, and we learned together as a couple, we couldn't afford to both be down. One had to be up if the other were down, and we would recognize the times when we were both down and said, this is not good. But I did trust and rest completely on God's word and His promises, and I remember somebody interviewing asking me, weren't you just totally fearful and just in tears when you went to meet with your counselor? And I said, no, I was rejoicing because we had a plan. We had somebody that told us that they believed in us and that we could correct the situation. And beyond that, I had the word of God who said in Psalm, He says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And I knew God would be faithful. And I also have seen when Russ, honestly, there were many times with his lack of sleep and with his health, I prayed and saw God show the reality of the promise that His strength is made perfect in weakness, our weakness. And so there were times that were tough, but God's word was always a stronghold for me.
Russ, you said that you understand our message now, that we teach that there's man's economy that will ensnare you and destroy you, and God has His own economy, and you've experienced that in a very real way. You're exhibit A of the difference between man's economy and God's economy. And during those difficult 4.5 years, I'm assuming there's some pretty cold winters in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And you're sleeping in your car.
Yes.
During the winter.
Yes.
Are you seeing how God might someday work this all together for good? What's going through your mind?
As I was telling you yesterday, I made a decision that I was going to make this right. Even if it killed me, and it wasn't that bad, but it. Sometimes I slipped out in 20 below weather out in the car, and got my sleeping bag, and I just did what it took. But I have to admit, I said sometimes I would have to be sitting there, and I'd say, Lord, how did I get here? I learned to walk closer with God, and I learned to trust in Him more, and I learned to look into myself and see the areas of my life that needed to be changed for God. And I just grew closer to the Lord, through all these different things I had to do to get out of debt.
Candy, what day was your debt completely paid off?
June 29th was our last disbursement.
June 29th of this year.
Yes.
So you became totally financially free.
Apart from our mortgage, yes. Yeah. Yes.
I know many people are concerned when you go for help or you go to a credit counseling source that you're going to lose your credit score. Do you mind sharing with us what your credit score is today?
Yeah, go ahead, dear.
Well, we closed on a house in April at 5% interest rate fixed. And at that point, it was like in the high 700s, low 800s, actually.
So yeah. You, in fact, have a wonderful credit score.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, and what I wanted to share with you is that that credit score is man's economy.
Right.
But in God's economy, your credibility is absolutely off the charts. Your credibility in Christ is unbelievable. Here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that all of you see the power of God at work and the difference it makes to invite God into the problem and to see what He can do. And that from meeting Russ and Candy, that they will be able to multiply His glory through the relationship that they will have with you, the Crown Champions, because they have a desire to tell God's story. And our media hasn't given them that opportunity. But do you think we could give them an opportunity to speak of God and His goodness? Russ and Candy, we're going to pray for you in just a moment. But is there anything that I haven't asked you that's really on your own heart that you want to share? Candy?
Yes, one thing that comes to mind right away in Russ sharing that we had a successful businessman tell us that we'll never pay it off, you might as well file bankruptcy. That was also the one individual that told us not to tithe. And shouldn't surprise me, I guess, but we did remain faithful to tithing, and that was one point of interest that really overwhelmed people that were probably not Christians as we were interviewed over these past months. And actually, halfway through our debt repayment plan, we gave birth to Joey, our three-year-old now, and at that time, we actually increased our giving and decided to tithe on our gross income, even though there was no extra, because I guess in my mind, I thought we really need God's gross blessings, not His net. And
can I just interject something? Have we been talking about increasing the birth rate at this conference? That's God's economy. You have a baby at one of your lowest times in life. You increase your giving. Does this make sense? Only God. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's okay.
You.
But
no, go ahead.
We had also began giving with our faith missions program at that time through our local church, and had endeavored to, you know, keep doubling our commitment each year at that time. And so, yeah, we increased our giving. We gave birth to our son, and the psalmist says that I have put my trust in the Lord God, that He may declare all His works.
Amen.
And it is about Him.
Amen.
Well, one thing to say is that we learn from going to the Word of God what to do to get out of debt. And then when Chuck contacted us, I looked at his website and I go, wow, everything he teaches is what we learned. And I wish I would have went to his website a lot earlier. But
we wish that everybody would go to our website a lot earlier.
But and we're just happy to be able to tell what God did, because it was the Lord, it was God and the miracles. I mean, we could talk for days of the miracles He did for us, and what a great God. And we're just happy to be here, and hopefully that people can just realize we have such a great God. He
Amen.
Just loves us.
Amen. Well, we've been talking about the power of one to change the world. Just one faithful person. And isn't it remarkable that God has given them the opportunity now to tell of His goodness to thousands and millions of people? And I want us to join together and pray for them. I want to ask Ann, would you come up here and join me? I'm going to come behind you guys. And while we're doing this, I would like all the women to stand. And I've asked Ann, can you grab that mic, honey? Right, it's right here. I've asked Ann to pray for Candy. Will all the women stand? Let me just say in front of Russ and Candy how grateful I am for their perseverance personally. With Scott, I think you're here, and Jim and Johnny Franklin and
some of the other guys in the studio, the first words I heard from Candy's mouth when I said hello to her were this: praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I had to remove myself from the studio and go and weep, because here's a couple who is not a part of the statistics of bankruptcy. They're not in the statistics of foreclosure, and they're not divorced. They're not in those numbers because of the God we serve. Because of the God we serve. And they know it, and I want to do all I can to allow them the opportunity to share that all over the world. And I want us to join and pray for them. And I wanted to thank Candy for her example of a godly woman. I have a godly wife who's been through the valley with me. I remember I made foolish mistakes, Russ, as a husband, and I was embarrassed and ashamed of it years ago. And I was afraid that my wife would leave me because of my foolishness, and she did not. It was because of her depth in God's word and her commitment as a godly woman that our marriage endured that time. And when I look at you, I see some of myself, and thank God for your courage and your commitment. I just love you deeply. I said on the air, I'm glad this is not a Crown story, because I take no credit in it. It's a God story. Ann, will you pray for Candy? How do we turn this on, Pedro? You're good.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our trials, so that we can comfort others with the comfort we've received from Him. Lord God, I thank you for this beautiful couple, God, for the mercy you extended to them, for the comfort you gave them through the valley that they walked through, trusting you, Lord, not doubting your goodness and your kindness, God. Thank you for sustaining them by your steadfast love, for blessing them through these difficult days, granting them another child, God, that they can train up to know you and to tell others of your great mercy. God, I do pray for Candy, God, that you would use her in the days to come to continue to be an example to her daughters of a godly wife and mother, to show them how to honor a husband, how to train up their future children, God. I pray, God, that you would minister to her with your angels, God, to strengthen her for days to come. May she never forget, Lord, your almighty power and your great kindness and love and mercy. Amen.
The women can be seated. And if all the men would stand and intercede on behalf of Russ. Heavenly Father, there are men in this room who can identify with the struggle that Russ went through, the depression, the struggle with his identity as a provider, as a husband, as a man. And Father, I want to give honor where honor is due. I thank you for the incredible depth of character in Russ Hildebrand. Lord God, I pray that you affirm him as an example of those that walk in humility before you will be delivered. And Father, you've proven your faithfulness to this dear brother in Christ. I thank you, Lord, that you preserve their marriage and preserve their family. I thank you, God, that you delivered them from financial bondage, from man's economy. But Lord, most of all, I praise you that this man led his family into God's economy. And they gather around the table every night and reflect on your goodness. And they rejoice and they give you praise and honor, claiming that this was not self-effort. This was not by the clever deliverance of man or by some new financing technique. It was by faithfulness. And Lord, not only did they pay back all of their debt. They paid back all of the interest. They were not forgiven one penny. And during that time, they gave to you. Lord, they reduced their overhead by 50% in order to go on a 4.5-year journey to prove your faithfulness. So, Father, I pray that they move forward from here and that they are used mightily around the world, that more people will follow their example and submit to you and go through the hard work of living on a tight budget, of learning to get out of debt and saving money. I pray they encourage all of our coaches and seminar instructors, all of our small group leaders and those who are going to use the new tools and resources you've given us to stay the course. And Lord, may we never be the ones that would say, there is no hope, go and file bankruptcy. May we never be the ones that would say that you cannot tithe if you're in that much debt. Lord, may they stand out in our minds in the days to come as a beacon of hope. Lord, as those who have shown us what's possible under your mighty hand. And Father, I ask you that Russ and Candy receive the honor due them in your mighty and precious name. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Would you stand there and let's represent them one more time. Oh, I can't take much more. Russ, God bless you. Thank you so much. I hope you'll stay with us. We're going to finish up our program. And will you see Russ and Candy? Candy, God bless you. Thank you. Can you take any more? Oh, my goodness. Oh, thank you, Lord. Scott, you guys know I could not control my tears when I met these people. What a man of God. What a humble man of God. I feel humbled around him. Just humbled. And I do pray that you will catch a vision of hope through their lives. Well, there's a few more things we want to cover before we close and go to lunch. I know some of you are going to want to get to know Russ and Candy over lunch, and you're going to want to ask them questions, and what budget did they use, and what recipes did she use. We interviewed her on Money Life, and people wanted her recipes, the meatless recipes. The people wanted to know how her children started a newsletter, and they have really become great friends. And I don't know, but I think this was probably a little warmer than, say, CNN. You would think? Good. There are so many stories, it would be impossible to share them all. I want to tell you a story that you can take home with you. A story that you will remember this event by. It's a story that will allow you to understand the redemptive power of God. And if you want to go ahead and pass out our gift to all of our guests, we have a surprise gift for all of you. And one that I want you to take in your hands, everyone who's here. Lord willing, we have enough of these, and I'm praying that he multiplies them like the fish and the loaves so that everybody can have one. And maybe if we start to run thin, maybe we'll have one per couple. But I want you to have a gift from us. This gift is something like a stone of remembrance in the Scripture. So many times when something significant would happen, there would be a way to memorialize it, a way to symbolize it, a way to have something in your hand that you could reflect back on and receive a reminder. You know, the Lord tells us throughout the Scripture to remember, to remember, to remember. To remember what He has done. To remember His goodness. Does everybody have their gift? Are we making progress? I'm going to
slow down just a little bit because I want to be sure that everybody's got their gift. As you receive it, if you would, to start to open your bag, and you can take out two things inside your bag. The very first thing is the story of this little cross. This is our gift to you. This is the story we want you to remember. The story to memorialize this weekend, to remember what's here. And if you will just look up behind me, and I can tell you this story, that the nation of Liberia experienced civil war, and it was nothing but massive death and destruction. If you see that picture, these bullets became like seashells. And on one of our journeys, Matt Ellsbury met a man who had redeemed those bullets. He took those bullets and by his own hand, he made these crosses. The cross you have in your hand used to lay on the streets of Liberia. They were formerly used to kill people for death and destruction. And this man had an idea that they could be redeemed for a new purpose. And this became his business. It's a symbol to me that God can take ashes and make beauty. That there will always be hope, no matter how much death and destruction that there may be. And that this simple little cross symbolizes the contrast between the death that man's economy brings and the life that God's economy brings. If you'll look at the very bottom of your bullet, that bullet has been fired at another human being. Does yours have the little pinhole in the middle? Does it? That bullet was fired to kill another human being. What an idea he had to make these little crosses. As we thought about what we might give you, I can't think of anything more precious. One of these sets on my desk. I gave one of these to my son before he left for boot camp. He keeps it with him. Someone asked me if they could buy these on eBay. The answer is no. They are handmade by one person in Liberia. If you want another one, we're out of them. You would have to go to Liberia. That's how precious this little cross is. I hope you take this with you and remember what God has done in your heart and in this ministry through this reunion. I hope it symbolizes what we have before us and what is behind us. The future is bright, and God has great plans for this ministry. I want to summarize a few things that we've covered during this time together and conclude our session, because from here we have our breakout sessions and then fun tonight and a time of worship in the morning. But this is the last segment of the segments together. We've really focused on being a crown champion today so that you could get a picture for what God could do through your one life. Francis Schaeffer wrote a book and said, there are no little people. No little people in God's kingdom. Everybody has those seeds within them to go and plant an apple orchard, as we heard many times through our training. But we started this opening session with the context of our global economy and where we are in the world today. We talked about the trouble in America, the dollar that is losing its power around the world. We talked about the potential for a global economic meltdown. That's going to be in the headlines for a long time. There's going to be great fear coming our way. We're going to have a backdrop of fear and pain and worry and anxiety as we leave and go forth into the highways and byways of the world. That is in our favor. That is our opportunity That is what God is doing so that we can proclaim Him as the solution to what the world longs for. He is the desire and the hope of all nations. We also set the context that there will be continuing discussions about a new world order. It should send chills through you that we're in a generation that is not just being talked about in sort of the off-center websites where people are digging holes to live in. That new world order is being talked about publicly among the world's superpowers. And it's a new economic order. It's an order that will constrain the freedom of money and the flow of money through policy. And it will set the stage for what I believe will be the ultimate control, centralized control over man's economy, giving us a sense of urgency to tell people that there is an alternative. And it goes far deeper than just being financially free and out of man's economy, but being spiritually renewed so that revival can flow through our work. As people get financially free, then they will also be prepared to be spiritually free and multiply according to what God has planned for us. We also talked about an epic battle. I made myself a fool for Christ to make a point that we are in an epic battle. It's a battle that is invisible. It's a battle that Russ talked about that grabs a hold of you inside your mind, doesn't it? And it gives you an identity of the world. And when that identity is threatened, it causes you to despair. And people find their significance gone. And the battle is to get the mind renewed on truth. And the enemy is relentless and he will not stop. And I hope you shudder to think that he has called you into that same battle. A battle to win the hearts and souls and minds of people. And to move them out of the bondage they're in over to this side. That's our battle. That's our context. That's what we've been called to fight. That's the problem God has given us to solve. As I've said before, money is the silent and invisible killer because it wants to become our master. It screams at us that it is the most treasured possession, that it is the greatest idol. It gives us so much power and it lies to us and it deceives us. And the enemy takes people down through that invisible killer. And I would remind you that God said in every place in the Scripture that the consequences for believing that lie are severe. And if you need a reminder, watch the rich man and Lazarus. When God said, here's a story that I want to stick in your mind. If you fall in love with money, here's my rebuttal. What a story. Is that severe? Could it get any more severe than having this rich man cry out from hell that I am in torment? I am not that excited about being a money lover anymore. You know, why don't you send somebody, that Lazarus who used to be treated as my slave? I haven't been redeemed from my pride and arrogance, even in hell. In fact, hell is where all the people who will not be redeemed from their pride and arrogance gather to celebrate. And he said, send Lazarus to tell my brothers. I think that's a message for us, that we're to go tell. There's severe consequences to believing that lie, and we have a sense of urgency. I hope you've heard that our heart, that we've made a commitment to you to be better listeners, to learn to serve you and to support you because you're the tip of the spear. You're where it happens. You touch the people that God has put in our pathway. We know that you need us to do a better job of being effective for the mission that God has called you to accomplish and to breaking down some barriers that have caused us not to communicate well and have caused us not to be aligned as well. And then to turn and look forward and fire that arrow into the battle as sharply and as focused as we possibly can. And to have a daring belief that God himself has called us to be in this battle for such a time as this. And then we're concluding today with trying to give you evidence that if you will embrace this daring belief and become a champion, like those that we have put before you, then you can do your part. And we will unleash something that we may never understand, how far and wide God may choose to take us. And I believe that it starts with what happened this morning when we go low before God, when we invite him to take control of this ministry, that we would not try to promote ourselves as a big deal and become popular. I reject that as a philosophy that would make us more effective. I resist the temptation to think that we are going to be important in man's economy in the eyes of people that want to exalt us. I resist that, and I think we should all, because that's not what God called us to do. He called us to be humble so that he could be exalted. And as a ministry, I hope to grow in that area and to model it and to call you to go there with me, and to trust the power of his word, and to look for relevant means to transfer his word in new and exciting methods. And I'm looking forward to going to Hal White's session to hear some of the things that all of you are telling me about that he learned, that he taught you about teaching God's word in relevant ways. One of the heroes of the faith for me was not a missionary, not someone that took on a job or a role that ever brought him much attention. He's one that's so important in the history of American missions that I've read all that I can about him, because he took an obscure position and an obscure role, and one that very few people fully appreciate. If you track the history of missions in this country, most every person in this room has been touched by the incredible mission effort that started in the 1800s right here in America. It started with what was called the Haystack Prayer Meeting. Have any of you ever read about the Haystack Prayer Meeting, where five people got together and started to pray, God, give us a burden for the rest of the world? Missions at that time in this country, that was considered, if you went west of the Mississippi River, that was a mission trip. But there were some students, some young people, who had a daring belief that God wanted them to go beyond the Mississippi River and out of this country. And if you read what happened from that prayer meeting, it is phenomenal, because it lit the fuse that blew missions out across the world. And most of us have some heritage, some gratitude that we owe to those original people who said, Lord, come and fall on me, and I will go wherever you send me. It started there. But then they had a problem, and that problem was this, that these passionate students didn't have the money to do missions. And at that time, it was a concept that people weren't excited about. Churches weren't excited about it. Boards weren't excited about it. They would go and appeal to their church mission board, and they would say, no, we're not sending you to Burma. We're not going to send you over there to Africa. No, you can't go. And then they would turn their pockets inside out and say, okay, Lord, we need help, because we're going. We're not going to be stopped because there's an obstacle. And J. Campbell White decided that he would help those students as a businessman. And he took on the role of raising money for them, helping them to be funded, of seeing resources flow into their pockets. And he challenged business people and the church to embrace missions. He was a zealot for Christ. J. Campbell White is one of the great heroes of the faith that you will seldom read about, because he saw that there needed to be fuel into the movement. And he took on the role himself to say it over and over and over again, give to these missionaries. Support the work of Christ. There's nothing more important. It's the highest priority of your life. He preached it and preached it. He said, I became an agitator of the body of Christ. an agitator. That's not a really pretty word. But he was, it flowed from his heart. And this is a quote that will always stick in my mind. If you will put that one up. It's a little long, but I want you to walk through it with me word for word. Most men are not satisfied with the permanent output of their lives. I'm going to read that one again. Most men are not satisfied with the permanent output of their lives. You and I are ministering to people. That's where they are. They're stuck in man's economy, and they're wondering, is there something more? Could I be challenged to have a more meaningful life, something that is an output, a result, something that I could say God did through me that mattered? Most people yearn for that. That's why I appeal to you. I appeal to you to live in such a way that that is exuded from your pores, that the radiance of Christ is so beautiful in you wherever you minister, that people yearn to say, will you tell me what there is more in life that you seem to know about and I don't? I think J. Campbell White hit the nail on the head. People want purpose. People want challenge. People want to go somewhere that's going to mean their life counted. He said, nothing can wholly satisfy the life of Christ within the followers except the adoption of Christ's purposes towards the world that he came to redeem. He said, if that's your yearning, then you adopt the purpose of Christ. That is the only thing that will satisfy the depth of your soul if you adopt the purposes of Christ. He said, fame, pleasure, and riches are but husk and ashes in contrast with the boundless energy, the boundless and abiding joy of working with God for the fulfillment of his eternal plans. The men and women, he didn't say women at that era, but we're saying it today. The men and women who are putting everything into Christ's undertaking are getting out of life its sweetest and most priceless rewards. Brothers and sisters, your reward will be in eternity when the Lord says, come and do more work for the Master. You will be a steward for all time. And I would like you to stand with me as I leave you with these thoughts. Would you stand with me? And these are the thoughts that I want to conclude our conference with. This is our time. This is our moment in history. This is our battle to fight. And you are called for such a time as this. One more time. This is our time. This is our moment in history. And this is our battle to fight. And you are called for such a time as this. And do it a little bit better for me. This is our time. This is our moment in history. This is our battle to fight. And you are called for such a time as this. Amen. And may God bless each one of us as we burst forth to change the world for Almighty God. Amen and amen.